Well, I'm through preaching for at least a while on heaven. I'm going to turn kind of a different direction today and preach on the subject, the reality of a hardened heart. The reality of a hardened heart. If you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 7 through verse 14. I'm sorry, through verse 17, 18, 19. This is wherever I stop. Start at Hebrews 3, verse number 7. I'll stop somewhere down the way. Hebrews 3, verse 7. And this portion of this chapter talks about an evil heart of unbelief or a hardened heart. Chapter 3, Hebrews, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Now listen, folks, when the Holy Ghost says something, we better be listening. Amen. He said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, not tomorrow, not next week, 2 months from now, next year, today, he says, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Why didn't they know God's ways? It wasn't that they weren't taught. It wasn't that they weren't shown. It wasn't that God's ways weren't exhibited before them all these 40 years he's talking about here. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now listen to this next verse carefully. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Did you notice at least 3 times in that passage, it said today, today, today? How important is today? I preached just a week or so ago about the 2 days in this world that you ought to be concerned about. That is today and that day. Well, this writer of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, I believe, he's talking about making provisions today so that when that day comes, you'll be prepared to meet him. So when you start talking about a person with a hardened heart, most of us would just normally think that, well, the writer of Hebrews here is talking about an old hardcore sinner, a difficult person, who just stands so against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God and will not let God even through to his facade, even get to his heart. Well, listen, that's true to a point. But that's not what this passage is talking about here. This passage is not talking about unbelievers. This passage is talking about believers. Notice what he said here in verse number 12. He said, take heed, brethren. You notice that? And in verse 14, he says again, for we are made partakers of Christ. The writer of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul's talking to Christians here in this passage. He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking about we who have been made partakers of the very saving grace of God in Christ Jesus. He's talking about fellow believers. He's talking about those of us who are in the family of God. That's what this passage is noted to here today. Now, Is it possible, do you think, for a Christian to have a hardened heart? It's not only possible, it's quite likely that you might know someone who has a hardened heart, or you may have a hardened heart and not even realize that you do. Now, it is not only possible, it's quite likely. Now, Christians can, and they do many times, resist the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. They try to also oppose the will of God in their life because they want their will over the will of God. And it's not thy will be done, it's my will be done. Christians oppose God. They resist the Holy Spirit of God and quench Him many times. And Christians do, in fact, many times harden their heart. Well, here's the questions. Pastor, how am I going to know if I've got a hardened heart or not? If I do, Pastor, how am I going to be able to know what to do about it to get it corrected in my life? Hardened hearts. There are some results of a hardened heart. Many things I'm sure that result from hardened hearts. But there's three things I want to share with us today about the reality of a hardened heart that you're going to know before you leave today if you've got a hardened heart or not. And you're going to know before you leave today what's going to take place if you just let your heart just keep being hardened and resisting God all along the way as a Christian. And you're also going to know today before you leave what to do in your life to cure the very hardened heart that sometimes we all or some of us could experience in our own lives. So let's look first of all. Let's look at the causes of a hardened heart. Look at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear His voice. Look at verse 9. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. The causes of a hardened heart. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible that any Christian or church would just one day wake up and decide, well, today I'm going to harden my heart against God? Or a church could say, well, on a certain date we're going to collectively harden our hearts against God. I don't believe anybody individually, I don't believe any church anywhere decides all of a sudden that we're going to harden our hearts against the Lord. I don't believe the Israelites decided and made a unanimous decision in the wilderness that we're just going to harden our hearts against God. We're going to resist God from now on. I don't believe it works that way. I believe it gradually happens to us over a period of time, just like it did here with the Israelites in the wilderness. We make certain choices in our lives. We make certain decisions in our lives. And because of the decisions that we make and choices that we make, there are consequences or there are results, and there are always going to be results of the decisions we make and the consequences that follow therein. Those sometimes decisions we make plunge us into beginning stages of a hardened heart, just like it was here with Israel. Now, let's see what causes us to have a hardened heart. There's three things I want you to see. First of all, the first cause of a hardened heart is denying the Word of God. Listen to verse 7 again. He says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Isn't the Holy Ghost God?
Amen.
Yeah, it is. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice. Now, who would consciously, honestly, be honest, who of us who know the Lord, who of us would consciously decide all of a sudden, I'm just not going to hear from God anymore. I'm not going to hear God's voice anymore. I'm not going to hear the Word of God that the preacher stands and preaches to me or wherever I hear preaching. I'm just not going to hear the Word of God again. Well, I don't believe Israel felt that way either. But the first stage in a heart beginning to harden is denying the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been? Now, don't look at anybody else in this building or anywhere else in Christendom. Think about your own life. How long has it been since you knew you heard the voice of God in your life? Now, just think on that a moment. How long has it been since you knew you heard the voice, the Word of God? How long has it been? Maybe you would have heard it sometime when this preacher stands to preach. Maybe you heard God's voice and you heard God's Word. When's the last time you heard God's Word when the preacher stood to preach? Has it made any difference in your life? Maybe the last time you heard God's voice would be when you were maybe on your knees somewhere praying, and God just broke in on your life and you knew that personally you heard the Word of God. How long has it been since you heard the voice of God in preaching or praying? How long has it been since you heard the voice of God in some kind of providence in life? Sister Cheryl, for instance, last week was in an accident. I know she heard from God because she took the very message and she shared it with the guy who wrecked her car. She heard from God. How long has it been since something in your life took place that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God speaking to you? Maybe there's some other means by which God may have spoken to you. But the question I raise is this: how long has it been since you've heard from God? Nothing more important in our lives then we hear from God. Amen. When you stop hearing from God and denying His voice and denying His Word, that's a first step toward a hardened heart. But there's a second cause of a hardened heart. Not just denying the Word of God, but denying the wisdom of God. Look at verse 9. It says, "When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, denying the wisdom of God. Paul says the Israelites tried to tempt God in the wilderness. They tried to provoke God, and they did. They seemed to want to live like they knew best for their life, what was best, more than God did, and wanted to go their own way and do their own thing. There's many people today living just like that in the churches, resisting God's wisdom. They want to live their own life, do their own thing, have their own will, have their own way, and denying the very wisdom of God. Did you notice something about Israel? All through the wanderings, they constantly complained about something, or about Moses, someone, or God didn't do this, or God should have done this, or God should have left us in Egypt where we'd be perishing over there rather than over here in the desert. Complain, complain, complain. You ever known anybody that every time you get near them, you don't want to hear what they're going to say because it's some kind of negative something that, you know, the preacher ought to have done, or he could have done, or should have done, and or what he preached, or what he should have preached, or what somebody in the church should have done, that shouldn't have done, how the church ought to have voted this way, not the way they wanted to, the way I want to see things. That's a second cause of a hardened heart. Amen. Denying God's wisdom. Do you think for 1 minute you know better about how to handle your life than God does? If you do, then you're headed quickly toward a hardened heart. Amen. Denying the Word of God. Denying the wisdom of God. But there's a third cause of a hardened heart. Not just denying the Word of God, the voice of God, not just denying the wisdom of God, but also denying the works of God. This same verse 9 and 10. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Listen, beloved, for 40 years, every single day, they saw the work of God. Listen, when they were perishing, God sent manna. For 40 years, every single day, they saw the work of God in sending down heavenly food for them to eat one day at a time. How could they not have recognized the work of God? For 40 years, the Bible says, they wandered in the wilderness and their shoes never wore out. I've never had a pair of shoes last 40 years. Have you? If they last a year or two, that's pretty good life for a pair of shoes, wouldn't you say? Their clothes that they wore for 40 years never grew old and tattered and fell off their bodies. Now, I know some of my clothes might be 40 years old. They might look like they're 40 years old, but they're not. Nevertheless, how could they not have seen the working of God in their life? They were perishing for water, and God provided them water out of the rock. They complained about food. They complained about not having any meat to eat. And because of the hardness of their heart, God sent forth a whole generation of quail and almost choked them to death with the meat they said they wanted. Yet for 40 years, they saw the work of God. How much like them are we? Now listen, I've had folks to attempt to tell me, I don't let you get away with this, and says, don't try it with me. I've had folks to look me in the face and try to tell me, well, preacher, God never has done anything for me. Oh, wait a minute. Oh. Wait a minute. Didn't you get that last breath of air? Isn't that heart still beating? Didn't you wake up this morning, maybe in your right mind, and have the ability to put on your clothes? And don't you have a wife or a husband or a precious family that you love day by day? You can just go on and on and on and on. How could you not understand? How could you not see that God does something for us every single day that we live? There's not a day I've ever lived that God hasn't done something for me. So don't ever say, God hasn't ever done anything for me. When you begin to deny the working of God in your life, you're headed swiftly to a hardened heart. There are three causes: denying the Word of God, the voice of God, denying the very wisdom of God, and denying the work of God. Those are three steps that will put you into a hardened heart very quickly. But now, let's just suppose, well, preacher, I'm already there. I know that I've got a hardened heart. What about it now? What am I going to do? From the causes of a hardened heart, I want you to see some curses that come to us who have a hardened heart. There are some consequences, if you will. There are some things that are naturally going to take place when you harden your heart against the Lord. Now, there may be many more, but I'm going to just share three of them with you. The first curse of a hardened heart is wickedness in the life of the believer. Look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, he's talking about Christians now, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The first cause, consequences, if you will, the first curse of a hardened heart is wickedness in the life of the believers. Would God's children be wicked? Would God's children at any time be evil? Well, if we weren't, then the writer of 2 Chronicles 7:14 wouldn't say, today, if you'll turn, my children will turn from their wicked ways. So yes, it's very possible for children of God to be evil and to have wickedness in their life and have a heart of hardened heart of unbelief. Sure it is. It's possible. Do you ever wonder, it just kind of appalls me sometimes, I almost get laughing about it. It's not funny. Some of the stupid, crazy things Christians do. Now just think about it. I'm not going to go into that list of things because you can solve that for yourself. Some Christians do some of the most idiotic, crazy things you've ever seen or heard of in your life. You'd think, well, they ought to know better than that. They're a Christian. But they do. It's because of wickedness in the heart. Evil, wicked heart, he says, of unbelief. I find this to be true. Other pastors will probably agree. The hardest person in the world that I've ever tried to deal with is a Christian with a hardened heart who's living a backslidden, evil, wicked life. That's the hardest person I've ever in my life tried to work with. They've got all the answers. They've got it all figured out. They're justified in living like they want to live, doing what they want to live, and you can't help them. So the first curse of a hardened heart is wickedness in the heart of the believer. But notice something else that you'll find in the heart of a Christian who's hardened his heart against the Lord is restlessness. Look at verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Do you ever wonder why Israel was always in a state of restlessness? Always unrest. Never were satisfied about anything God did for them. Never were satisfied about anything that God answered a prayer for them. Always seemed to be in a sense of restlessness. Do you know why it was? Because of a hardened heart. That's a reason. You ever wonder why some Christians, you may know some, that are always restless. They're never at peace. They're never satisfied. Always restless. It's the same reason that you find here. It's absolute unbelief, hard-hearted hearts. Causes restlessness. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not opposed to medications for certain things. God gives our physicians wisdom. He gives our pharmaceutical companies enough wisdom to produce some things, some remedies, and some cures for physical problems. But do you ever wonder why so many Christians can't sleep? They're on sleep aids, antidepressants, tranquilizers, nerve pills, restless, can't sleep. Do you know why most of it is? A hardened heart. Not in every case, but many times they've hardened their heart against God. You cannot be at peace. You cannot be at rest. You will not be at peace. You will not find any rest if you harden your heart before God. It's a curse. Restlessness. It's a curse. Wickedness. And I'll tell you something else as a result or a cause or a consequence of a hardened heart. It's deadliness. Look at that verse 12 again. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Look at verse number 17. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Deadliness. A whole generation from 20 years old and upward died in the 40 years of wilderness wanderings. Why did they die? Hard-hearted, unbelieving. He called them stiff-necked heifers. Hard-hearted causes deadliness. A whole generation of Israel fell in the wilderness because of hard-heartedness. Do you ever wonder, does it ever cross your mind? Maybe it just crosses my mind. Maybe I don't think like other people. Does it ever cross your mind? Do you ever wonder why so many times many churches and many church members seem to be dead? Do you ever pick up on those things? Do those things ever cross your mind? You ever think about those things at all? Why some Christians seem so dead? You have to wake them up to leave. Really. They told a story one time about the deacons. Deacons, you guys will appreciate this. Deacon sitting on the front row, one of them fell over. Had to call 911. And he came in to get the guy, had to examine all seven deacons before they found the right one. That's a good joke. We'll get the preacher's joke next time. Amen. Amen. Deadliness. Old Vance Havner used to say, and I've said it time again, I always love to quote it. He says, Baptists are like concrete. They're all hard set and mixed up. He said they take up church at 11 o'clock sharp and turn out 12 o'clock dull. Well, he may be right, more than we'd like to laugh about. Deadliness in the life of a church or an individual is a sure cause and a curse of a hardened heart. I said I'm going to share three things. What causes a hardened heart? and the consequences or curses of a hardened heart. But I would be unfair to you if we leave today and not share with you how to get a cure for a hardened heart. Thank God we don't have to stay in the position of having a hardened heart as an individual or as a church. Thank God God has a remedy. God has a cure for a hardened heart, for individuals or churches alike. Let's look at the cure before we leave. First of all, the cure is this: hearing God's word. Go back to verse 7 again. Listen to it. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear His voice. If means you can hear God's voice if you choose to hear it. Or you can choose to refuse to hear God's word if you don't want to hear it. The if is a big conditional if there. If you will and choose for God to speak to you today, then God will speak to you. He's speaking to other people all around you today. Here's the attitude every single one of us ought to take when I come to the house of God every time I come. Lord Jesus, I want to take the attitude that nobody's in this church house but me and you and the preacher. And whatever you say through him, Lord, is directly toward me and nobody else but me. Listen, the first step toward the cure of a hardened heart is to begin to hear the voice of God. To begin to hear the Word of God. So that's the first step toward the cure, hearing the Word of God. And then the second step toward the cure of a hardened heart is to heed the warning of God. Listen to verse 12 back there again. Take heed, brethren. And when the Holy Ghost says take heed, you better take heed. Amen? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, which means it could happen to you, it could happen to me, it might be your brother today, it might be you tomorrow. If any of you, he says in verse 12, have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And he says in verse 13, it's done through the deceitfulness of sin. So then, the second cure for a hardened heart is to begin to heed the Word of God. I have faced this over the years, not here. On occasion or two, I've had people call me after a certain Sunday morning sermon. Doesn't always have to be a lady, but it just happened to be in this particular instance, twice. She called me and she said, "What do you mean? Preaching what you did this morning." I said, "What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean, what did I mean preaching what I did this morning?" She said, "You just pointed me out in front of all my Christian friends in the church." I said, "Did I call your name?" "Well, no. But everybody knew you was talking about me." I said, "Let me tell you something, sister. If the Holy Ghost got on your heart, maybe you ought to get on your knees. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, why'd you preach what you did? Embarrassing me in front of my friends." I'd rather be embarrassed in front of my friends than embarrassed before God, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather for them to call my name from the pulpit rather than God call my name from heaven and tell me how bad and how wicked I am. "Well, preacher, you really weren't preaching to me anyway. If they'd have been here, you'd have let them have it." Well, they were here and they got it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's not always my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, who stands in the need of prayer. Amen. I'm talking about the cure for a hardened heart. It's to begin to hear the Word of God, the voice of God. Begin to take heed to the warning of God. Now look, Israel didn't. History bears it out for us. Just think about it. Read it for yourself. History says Israel didn't hear the Word of God. History tells us Israel did not heed the warning of God. And they paid a terrible price for it. A whole generation of people died because of it. Let me ask you something. We don't want to repeat their story, do we? I don't. I don't believe you do. I don't believe our church does. That's a pretty sad story to repeat, wouldn't you say? So I want a cure for the hardened heart if I've got one. It's hearing the Word of God, heeding the warning of God, and here's another thing. It's helping to witness to other people, other Christians to start with. Listen at verse 13, what it says. Verse 13 says, "But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We must help, beloved, each other. If you come to me and point out something in my life that you feel is a hindrance or a hardened part of my heart, I want to tell you I'm going to appreciate it. I'm not going to take issue with you. If God's shown you something I didn't see, and He wants you to tell me, then praise God, you tell me. Listen, what I'm trying to do for us all today is to exhort us, is to make us aware that the possibility of a hardened heart can be in you. It's not always somebody else. It can be in our church, not always another church, not always another denomination. It can be us, it can be you, it can be me, who the writer Hebrews says is deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. He said, "Beloved brethren, exhort one another daily." I need to be exhorted. I need to be warned from time to time. I need to take heed from time to time. I need to listen for the still small voice of God all the time. We need to be exhorted that we don't be deceived by sin and cause our hearts to be hardened against our precious Lord. Well, Israel was exhorted. Moses exhorted them all but daily. Others came on behind Moses and exhorted Israel. Prophets came and exhorted Israel. But listen, Israel just continued to disobey God. They just continued to harden their heart against God. They just continued to disregard the Word of God. And they paid a horrible, terrible price for a hardened heart. Now, I don't want to repeat that story in my life. I don't want you to repeat that story in your life. I don't want our church to repeat that story in the life of our church. And also, God doesn't want us to repeat that story either. Amen? He doesn't want us to have hardened hearts. Listen, if God's shown you today your heart is either starting to get hardened, or it may be already hardened, He's provided you a cure. You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to live that way. You've seen the causes, what causes it. You've seen the curses that come with it, and God has shown us a cure for it. Now listen, I'd say take the cure, amen.
Amen.
Because if you don't, the price to pay is very expensive. Let's bow to pray. Thank you, Lord, for warning us. Thank you for helping us. The Holy Ghost said, take heed. And Lord Jesus, let us do it today in each of our hearts and in the life of our church, that we won't be deceived by sin and cause our hearts to be hardened. Lord Jesus, today I pray if there's one person here, first of all, who's never received the grace of God by faith in Christ, in salvation, they'd come today and humble themselves before the mighty hand of God, and Lord, you'll save them. Then to we that Paul spoke about today, we the partakers of Christ, we the children of God, we the brethren have heard the Word of God. If there's something in our lives, Lord, you've already pointed it out to us, help us to take heed. Take heed to the warning. Before it's too late, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.